It's time for Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to the Focus on the Community program this week, 55th District Republican State Senator Dale Ryder. Dale, thanks for being with me on the program.
Steve, it's good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
We've had you on a number of times, but I don't think we've ever had you on a one-to-one situation like we have today to talk about issues of concern.
It's good to be here. I always enjoy the opportunity to have a little give and take in a conversation. These days, the political world is so much 20-second sound bites here, 10-second sound bites here. And as always, it seems like we face a lot of critical issues that take more than a 30-second commercial or a 7-second sound bite in order to have a thorough discussion and flush out an opportunity to have conversation. So I appreciate this opportunity.
And here in Lawrence County this week, you try to get out as much in the district as you can, don't you?
We do. We have, of course, I have an office in Mattoon. I have an office. We opened a new office in Olney that's now up. We do satellite office hours here in Lawrenceville, and we do satellite office hours in Fairfield as well. So, yeah, the district has 14 counties. No one gets to see me as much as they would like. I don't get to see them as much as I would like because it's a little over 2.5 hours one way from the north end of my district to the south end of my district. So particularly when we're in session like we are now, you basically have now we're not in session this week, but on session weeks, you basically have Mondays and Fridays available to you back in the district. And that makes the travel schedule pretty thin.
Well, the most recent things happening in Springfield, of course, the governor's budget address last week. You've had a little over less than a week, I guess, to digest what he had to say. Any additional thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the governor is getting some feedback. I think that when we originally talked, my hope was that the governor would get constructive feedback or criticism, particularly on his idea of the tax increases and the deferral of $800 million in pension payments. We've been down that road before. That just means that taxpayers have to pay more later. Since he gave his speech, there's been serious criticism from across the state with regards to the pension deferral. We've heard from the Illinois Retired Teachers Organization strongly. I'm hearing from individual teachers in my district. The Illinois Education Association has not come out and made a statement, but I'm hopeful they will. I mean, this is not in anybody's best interest. It's certainly not in the teachers who depend upon that pension fund and its solvency. It's certainly not in their best interest. So the governor is getting that pushback. Now, the question is, how will he handle that? Will he talk more about why he thinks this is a good idea? Will he look to try to modify some of his plans? We don't know that yet. I'm hopeful in the next 2 weeks we'll see more from him.
He's sort of a political novice. Does he have people around? I'm sure people around him are advising him of what to do and not to do.
He does. I mean, every governor has that. Sometimes I think the question for one of the critical questions for an elected official is not only do they have bright people around them who know what they're talking about, but is the official willing to listen to them? And we've seen before in recent Illinois history where governors, elected leaders, had good people around them who gave them good advice, but in the end they wouldn't listen to them, and that became a problem. And this governor is still very new. So how willing he is going to be to listen to people who have a good deal more experience than he does in governance and in politics remains to be seen.
There is a give and take, I guess, with regard to legislation. I mean, you guys suggest, and there's give and take. How has that worked with regard to what he had to say? Has there been any discussions about, well, we can this is a good idea, maybe if we do this and that, and things like that in committee or anything like that?
Not yet. The governor, when he campaigned, talked a lot about bipartisanship. Obviously, as a political matter, he was attempting to capitalize on and successfully did that the the perception that Bruce Rauner was always at war with someone, always. And so the message of bipartisanship sold well during the campaign. The governor's continued to talk about that since he's been sworn in. The governor talked a lot about that during the minimum wage debate. But the bottom line was that there were suggestions made by business groups, by downstaters of both parties, with regards to a longer phase-in period for downstate, recognizing that the city of Chicago is already at $13 an hour on their minimum wage. So they have 6 years to go $2. We have 6 years to go $6.75. And so that's a much more aggressive time schedule for us. The governor and the sponsors of the bill did not relent at all. None of the suggestions that were put on the table by the opponents, including Republicans, were taken into the bill. And so despite the governor's rhetoric to the contrary, if you read the bill, you'll see that's the case. I'm hoping that he'll do better down the road. Sometimes governors come in and they want to show strength and momentum right off the bat. Hey, this is what I said I would do, and I'm going to do it exactly how I said I would do. Now maybe he's established that. Maybe he'll now try to work in a more cooperative venture. I hope he does for his sake, our sake, and the state's sake.
What do you think about the recreational marijuana question? Is that a viable sort of thing to do in the future?
I don't think so, Steve. The proponents are all about the money. They're forecasting that the state will take in $200 million in revenue in the coming fiscal year, which starts July 1. I think that is an unrealistic figure, because even if the bill passes and becomes law by the end of May, all of the bureaucracy and framework that has to be set up in order to administer this, which has not been done, that will take months and months before you can sell anything. And so that's why I believe that $200 million is a gross overestimate of the tax revenue. Putting aside the tax revenue, I mean, if we were willing to just set aside lots of social concerns, we could legalize all kinds of things and tax them, I suppose. But that's not a wise step. We look at the challenges that children have these days, and parents on their behalf, bombarded by the morally questionable and corrupting influences that social media can be. I mean, there's attacks on children from everywhere with regards to their moral upbringing. Not to mention the fact that in this state and across the nation, you have a relatively small percentage, but unfortunately it's growing, percentage of parents who are not able to parent their kids for one reason or another. So those kids have that going against them as well. Now we're going to tell them that something that has been illegal and which is clearly not healthy for them is now available to them. I think that's a bad step for kids. I mean, there isn't a politician in Springfield who doesn't say that kids are their number one concern. I don't know how you can vote for something like this and be serious in a statement like that. The third concern I have with it is one of the narratives being put forward by the proponents is that this notion that we're spending all this money on law enforcement, arresting and trying and convicting and imprisoning all these people. Well, that's not true. Steve, I was a felony drug prosecutor for 5 years. That's not what happens. For the amounts of marijuana they're talking about legalizing, there's not one person who spent one day in prison over any of that. It's because you can't. You can't. Almost, I would say 98% of these people, if they have a clean record, they get put on probation. They're subject to a drug evaluation to see if they need drug treatment. That's what happens. And so they're not clogging up the court systems. They're not clogging up the prisons. What you will see if this happens is more people using and driving under the influence of marijuana, and that will drive up law enforcement costs.
Another topic that's come out of Springfield here lately is the need for a capital plan. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants nice roads and nice bridges and things like that. It's nice to say that, but you got to pay for it somehow. And that's the big question, isn't it, Dale? Everybody wants to get the roads built and things like that, but you got to pay for it somehow, some way.
That's right. And there are only a handful of places that you can go to get the significant new revenue to do a statewide construction bill or a capital program that's meaningful in a state the size of Illinois. And the one that's being talked about most, and let's back up. The one that was talked about originally by Democrats is this mileage tax. And let's talk about what that would be. That would be state government somehow measuring the number of miles you are driving on the roads. Now, unless I'm missing something, the only way for state government to track how many miles you're driving in your car, Steve, or I'm driving in mine, is to have some kind of device monitoring the car or in the vehicle. I will never support something like that. I think that that is, I think that's too invasive for government to be monitoring your driving wherever you go. I don't think the General Assembly can pass that. I don't think even this Democrat majority will pass that. I don't think they'll touch that. The next place would be an increase in the motor fuel tax. Right now, Illinois' motor fuel tax is 19.3 cents per gallon. That was last raised in 1990, so 29 years ago. The question is, if it goes up, how much will it go up? I would say most people will tell you that if you don't raise it at least 10 cents, you don't get the money you need in order to do a truly statewide construction program. So the question is, are people willing to pay basically what would be 30 cents a gallon on the state motor fuel tax as opposed to the 19.3 they pay now? Because we will not get one without the other. You're exactly right. We will not get the work that we want to see done on our roads, see Route 50, the Route 50 Coalition, a chance of expanding that to four lanes right through here through Lawrence County. We'll have to pay for that. And the question is, are people willing to pay for that?
Economic development, people down here, do they still talk to you about that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the challenges that downstate Illinois faces because we are linked to Chicago is we are married to some of the, what I would consider to be, anti-job growth policies that really emanate from the city of Chicago. People who live in the city of Chicago, Steve, and the legislators who represent up there, they don't feel the burden of those because every year, 55 million people in terms of tourists go into the city of Chicago. So all they come in there and they spend all that money. And so all of those business interests really don't feel the effect of these anti-job growth policies than if they were downstate not getting that kind of tourist traffic. And so that's a challenge for us. Now, Governor Pritzker has indicated that he wants some kind of workers' compensation reform. We will see if he's really honest about that. I think that would be a bold stroke for a Democratic governor to tell Democrat legislators, we need to worry about the economy statewide, not just here in the city of Chicago. So we are going to make some changes to the workers' compensation law and help grow a robust economy downstate. It is very much a topic on people's minds, Steve, particularly as I travel up and down the Route 1 corridor and the fear of additional dollars being lost because of the minimum wage increase over to Indiana.
Yeah, people are – the state of Illinois is losing people hand over foot. People going to other states because it's cheaper to live and they can make a better wage or situations like that.
That's exactly right. I mean, Illinois now leads the nation in out-migration. Some people who don't want to treat this issue seriously would suggest to you that those people are going to Florida or Arizona and going to warm weather climates. But the statistics show that roughly 8 out of 10 people who leave the state go to one of Illinois' neighboring states. They're going for economic opportunity. They're taking their money with them and their economic opportunity with them. Who are we getting back? I'm not sure. We legalize marijuana. I mean, now are people from Indiana going to want to come over to Illinois and buy the dispensaries in Illinois? I think we need to be very. I mean, I was talking to the Lawrenceville Mayor Don Wagner this morning about that very issue. Is he's concerned that you're going to see traffic from Indiana come into Illinois, not to go out to eat and fill up their gas tanks and go to Walmart and spend their money here, but rather to go to the dispensaries that will sell the marijuana. And is that the kind of tourist traffic, if you will? I'm not so sure that it is.
So what are some of the things that you look forward to tackling when you get back to Springfield?
Well, I think obviously the budget issue is the central focus to me, Steve, along with working to better our economic policies. You and I have talked about this before. Our budget picture and our economic growth, they're tied together. The more the economy grows, the higher tax revenues are for the state of Illinois, the more money you can put into your schools, you can put into roads and things like that. Those two things are tied. They'll always be tied in my mind, and those are the two issues that will be my central focus this year.
Dale, thanks for stopping by and talking with us on Focus on the Community, and we'll look forward to having you back again in the future.
Steve, great being with you. Thanks for the invitation.
You have been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area. If you or your organization have issues and information affecting your community and would like to be a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by email, wako@dlcmediainc.com, phone 618-943-3354, fax 618-943-4171, or regular mail, WAKO Community Issues, 13799 U.S. Highway Business 50, Lawrenceville, Illinois, 62439.